Good evening. For those of you that don't know, our pastors are on vacation, so I hope they're getting rest. We had a good service this morning.
Amen.
Could have been better if somebody got saved, but we still had a good service. That's the elite of having a good service, is somebody coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. Father, I thank you for those that are here, Father God. I pray that as I deliver your word, Father God, that it would hit the mark, Father God. That if a soul's cast down, it would lift them up, Father God, in the name of Jesus. If somebody's discouraged, that they would be encouraged, Father God, and that they would receive the word with gladness, Father. And Father, we want to see that hundredfold fruit, Father God, of growth in our spiritual life, Father God. And Lord, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked this morning about the Word of God, and we're going to continue, go a little bit deeper. We talked about letting our nets down again, letting our nets down of prayer. There's things, as I said this morning, there are things that God has placed inside each and every one of you. It may be specific, may be non-specific, but there are things God may have told you to do that you may have been discouraged or may have gotten discouraged about because you haven't seen any fruit. But I want to tell you that in His Word, we need to let the nets down again. So I want to start tonight in the book of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's an amazing piece of Scripture, my brother and sister, that even in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, before the earth was formed, there was God. He was in the beginning. The earth was full of darkness and full of water, according to the Scripture, but when God spoke, let there be light, the Word and the Spirit of God performed it, and we have what we have today, and we see today as the earth. But before all of that, God was in the beginning, and God's Word was in the beginning. No matter what circumstance you're facing in your life, God's Word is there to console you, to comfort you, to convict you if necessary, and to lead you. But too many times, we don't always go to God's Word to look for that comfort, to look for that peace, to look for that safety, to look for that security. We don't always run to God. Sometimes we run to brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But when we make our brothers and sisters, and we go to them before we go to God, there's a problem, my brother and sister, that we face, that we're looking to man instead of looking to the very God that created you and the very God that can help you. We have to look to the God that... The Bible says, David said this, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. See, our help, it comes from God Almighty and His self. And we find comfort in this Word. We find comfort in the Word of God. I can be tore up. I can have no peace. But the moment I pick up God's Word and I begin to read it, His peace will come. The moment I set time aside and I begin to read it, read the Word of God, peace will come and joy will come. And as we go a little bit further, we'll understand that. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So before you were born, there was a God. He spoke a word, and it brought forth light, and it brought forth life. In the beginning was the Word, and God created man in His own image, and He created Adam, and then He created Eve, because He's God. See, in the beginning, He was lonely and He wanted to have fellowship with man. And in a perfect world, we wouldn't have some of the things that we see today. Lions wouldn't be going after the antelope and the deer. And crocodiles wouldn't be eating the buffalo that crossed the river in South Africa. But we are living in a day where sin has taken place. If Adam and Eve hadn't sinned in the garden, we would have what you have, a peaceable, perfect world. But we don't have that. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was given to Adam and Eve. And the Word was, don't eat of the tree. You can eat of every tree in the garden, but don't eat of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. You can have every other tree. You can eat of every other fruit, but not that fruit. If they had listened to the Word of the Lord, my brother and sister, we wouldn't see sin take privity over this earth and over this world as we have. We wouldn't have been born in darkness. We would have been born in light. Women wouldn't have the pain of childbirth. if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned. So when we get to heaven, you can blame Adam and Eve. It took both of them. Thank you for the amen. It's no more Eve's fault than it is Adam's fault. It's no more Adam's fault than it is Eve's fault. Although Adam should have stood up and been a man. I will say this, and that's the loudest amen you'll ever hear Sister Sherry say. Moving right along. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. See, heaven and earth, the Bible says, will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. So it's important that no matter what the circumstances might be, you get God's Word on the situation. You get God's Word on the matter. You might have a loved one that you've been praying for a long time, and God's told you that He's going to save him. And even though you don't see the fruit of that salvation yet, His Word is true and it's there in your heart. And you need to take that Word and you need to meditate on it day and night, and you need to believe that God is going to do exactly what He said He's going to do. We are not on God's timetable. He's not on our timetable. We at 12 o'clock, our stomachs sometimes growl. If you're like me and you have a messed up schedule and you go to work at 10 a.m. and you don't get off till 10 p.m., it might be 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. But God is not on our timetable. He is going to do things in His timing and in His will. Well, Brother Sean, what is His will? You have it right here in your lap. Yeah. It's right here. Here's your God's will. If I was a millionaire and left my kids some money, you can bet they'd read that will. This much goes to Ashley, this much goes to Alex, and this much goes to Aaron. You can bet they'd be at the lawyer's office reading the will. No different than it is with the Word of God. It's His will, and it's His love letter to us. We just don't treat it that way. We need to find out everything we can of God's Word. Amen. Everything about our life, every situation and circumstance of your life, there's an answer to for it, and it's found in God's Word. And I lost my place, but that's okay. I can find it. First Peter 1, hallelujah. I was talking and flipping. I can't talk and flip at the same time. I got to flip and then talk, but that's okay. 1 Peter 22 says this, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfading love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, oh, listen to this, my brother and sister, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. See, circumstances are going to come and go, but God's Word is going to abide forever. Amen. That trial that you're going through is going to come and it's going to pass, but God's Word is going to abide forever. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, every circumstance in our lives is going to come and going to go. But one thing is going to stand sure, and that is the Word of the Lord. That is the Word of God. It's going to abide forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will abide forever. Paul told Timothy to preach the Word. He didn't say to preach his opinions, to preach doctrine. He told Timothy to preach the Word of God. If we would have more preachers preach the Word of God, we would see more manifestations of the Spirit of God. I'm glad I'm not part of some of the things that I see on television. I'm glad God's kind of kept us secluded. Amen. Thank you for them. I'm glad we didn't fall into deception. Are you saying they're deceived? I'm not saying all are deceived. I'm just saying majority of that I see on television are deceived. Anybody that says they're a God, they need to repent and they need to get saved. There's only one God and His name's Jesus. There's only one God and Father. There's only one faith. There's only one Lord and Savior and His name is Jesus Christ. I make no apology for saying that. No apology. Because we serve a God that is true and living. I understand one thing. I'm not God and don't want to be. Thank God some of you ain't God, because y'all might have killed me or had me dead in some of my circumstances and troubles and failures and vice versa. But we serve a God that's merciful. Amen. See, us, our human frailty and our human flesh, we aren't as long-suffering as the Lord is with us. We aren't as patient with each other as the Lord is with us. See, God's more patient with us than we are with each other. That's why He's God and we're not. Because I might fry Sister Dale if I was God and some of the things that she's done. But moving right along. And she might fry me because, see, we're not long-suffering like the Father. We're not long-suffering like our Master. But He's long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of truth. Turn with me, please, to the book of James. I read it. Sister Ruth, are you okay, sister? Do you? We need to pray for you? Okay. All right, moving right along. Don't let it wander, sister. Bring it back into subjection. Cast down those things, sister. James chapter 1, verse 19. See, I'm glad we're family. I'm glad that we can talk about God's word and love one another and cut up and yet still be serious. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Here, we're all in trouble right here. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and subfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We see that scripture come to pass many, many times. People look at themselves, they think they arrive, and the next thing you know, they just up and leave God. Why, Brother Sean? Because the Bible says this, they went out from us, that it might be manifested they, that they were not of us. See, we've got to understand that not everybody sitting next to you is going to make it to heaven. The Bible says that two will be in the field, the one will be taken and the one will be left in the book of Revelation when Jesus comes back. You're going to be eating dinner with some of your loved ones if they don't want to get saved when Jesus decides to come back. And the next thing you know, you're going to be talking to them and you're going to disappear and they're going to be sitting there eating at a dinner table by themselves because the trump of God sounds and we're going to be with Jesus. See, Jesus is coming. His word declared it. We don't know the hour. We don't know the time when we don't know the day. And anybody that says they do is a liar. We've seen it over time and over history. Well, in the year 2000, we thought the end of the world was happening. Computers were going to break down and fall down. Here we are 8 years later. Everything seems to be running normal. But that's the deceiving thing. Everything's running normal. There's no consequence. There's no restraint. There's no turning back to God. America's not turning back to God like they should. Yes, we have pockets of people turning back to God, but we as a nation have not turned back to God. And it is only because of us that are left here that want to serve God, that want to live for God, why we haven't seen ultimate judgment from Almighty God. We've seen some pockets here and some pockets there, but we haven't seen. Brother Sean, does God judge? You bet you He does. If He judged the children of Israel, He's going to judge us. If He judged the children of Israel in Sodom and Gomorrah, He's going to have to judge America one day. I don't know the day, I don't know the time, and I don't know the hour. That's not my business. But the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. What He did for me, He will do for you. And what He's done for others, He will do for you. God is no respecter of persons. You can take that to the bank. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Oh, isn't it amazing that we got to bridle this tongue for our religion to be pure and to be holy? It's an important thing that we take God's word seriously, my brother and sister. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but His word is going to abide forever. After we've gone to heaven, and after this world's been burnt up by holy fire, so that the New Jerusalem can come down, His word is going to abide forever. His word isn't going to change because we have a new president. His word is going to stand true. It doesn't matter what president we get, it's not going to change God's word and God's situation on certain circumstances and certain matters of the heart. But what is going to change is people's way of how they vote. I don't know why I'm saying this again, but I am. Maybe God wants to get this out through the tape, out of the CD, I don't know. But you see, we have to go with what the Bible says. If you're a Christian, then you need to vote your Christian values and your Christian beliefs. I can't tell you how to vote, nor will I. But I will hope and pray that you pray and fast before you vote for the next president. Brother Sean, do you expect him to be perfect? No, but if he says he's a Christian, I expect him to be a Christian. If he says he's pro-life, then when he gets president, I expect him to stay that way, not change because of the Congress or because of the Senate. He's going to bow to Jesus one day. He's going to bow to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We need to quit bowing to the Congress, and we need to quit bowing to the Senate, and we need to bow to the one true God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, that is we need to get away from having a fear of man and get back the fear of the Lord back in our lives and in our hearts. 1 John says this, and I'm going to hurry because I know some of you are tired because I'm tired. But you know what? I'm feeling the fire of God, so you might be here for a little while. But that's okay. 1 John chapter 5 says this, verse 5 to 8, it's three little scriptures. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Oh, I thank God that's in there. I thank God that that's in there. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We're living in a day where I can get saved at 12 years old and live my life, live any way I want to be, and we can still claim to have life. But the Bible says right here in 1 John that if we don't have the Son, we don't have the life. Thank you for the amen. We've got to have Jesus. We've got to follow on to know the Lord, the Scripture says. I can't just... It'd be like me getting married to my wife and never spending any time with her, never going out to dinner with her, just me and her. We get married. We live in a house. We sleep in the same bedroom, but there's no intimacy. There's no communication. That's not a marriage, if you ask me. No different than you living for Jesus. That's not salvation. If you don't want to have fellowship with Jesus, something's wrong. Because we serve a good God. We serve a God that His Word will change you. It'll heal you. It'll comfort you. It'll soothe you. I'm going to say it again. I know I'm sounds repetitive. But heaven and earth will pass away. But His Word will abide forever. See, we're living in a day where people don't take the Word of God very seriously anymore. They listen to men of God, and there are men of God. Don't misunderstand me, please. There are true men of God. You can tell a true man of God because he doesn't try to make a name for himself. He doesn't get on a platform and declare that he's some super spiritual person. He declares the glory of God, and he depends solely on the Spirit of God. And he will preach the Word with boldness and with authority. You can tell the difference. I can flip somebody on the television and just be flipping through the channels, and my daughter will walk in and say, he looks like a devil. And I'm not going to say the man's name, but it's an amazing thing. She's 11, my brother and sister. She's 11, and she can tell the difference between good and evil because she's been raised in a Christian home. And oh, that adults could see the difference. But see, we get so blinded because we get involved in a movement, and we want to have the acceptance of men and women more than the acceptance of God. And we need the acceptance of Almighty God more than any acceptance you could ever want from any man, woman, boy, or girl. I've seen it over and over again. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen people begin to date this ungodly person, whether it be a man or a woman, and it doesn't matter. You begin to see him date ungodly people, people that don't have the same values or the same faith as you. And here's the comical line is, oh, I'm going to win them to Jesus. No, you're not. You're going to compromise. You're going to flat out sin with them because you cannot be unequally yoked together. What fellowship hath light with darkness? God's word does not lie. I have seen men and women go ahead and marry these individuals that are not saved and then want God to save them and then wreak havoc in their marriage. And 10 years down the road, they're still not saved. Well, maybe if you would have obeyed the scripture, I'm going to get a little bit personal here, and not done what, and done exactly what the Bible says, and not been unequally yoked, and just waited, God might have sent you a husband that was saved, sanctified, or a wife saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you that if you wait, God will send you a wife. God will send you a husband. He sent me one. Even though my mom had to go out and get her, He still sent me one. And that's an inside joke between all of us. I didn't know the story. I'll go ahead and share it. I was wanting to get married. It's no secret. And Doug and Sherry got married first, and Jimmy and Kim got married first. Then it was Doug and Sherry. And here I was wanting to get married. All right, Lord, where's my wife? Where's my wife, Lord? I've been seeking, and finally I was in the shower one day. And I said, all right, Lord, it doesn't matter. I'm done trying to seek for a wife. I'm done asking for a wife. I'm just done. And so I was teaching youth at the time, and I was on a Friday. I was getting ready for youth, and we were having some good youth meetings at the time, and my mom runs into Heather at Big Lots of all places, and she just moved down from Virginia and runs into Heather, and Heather's not saved, of course. She needed to get saved before the Lord's wrath killed her, but moving right along, no, I'm just teasing, honey. I'm just teasing. So my wife and Heather run into each other. That would be funny, wouldn't it? My mom and Heather run into each other. Lord help me with this crowd. My mom and Heather run into each other, and they talk. And I knew of Heather for quite some time, back when we were teenagers, and wanted nothing to do with her, and she wanted to do nothing with me. And it's an amazing thing that as time progresses and people get older, people change. And so my mom asked Heather how she's doing, and they talk. And Heather says how she's depressed, this, that, and the other. And she comes to church, and it's on a Wednesday night of all things, on a Wednesday night. There was probably 10 people in the audience, maybe 8. I wasn't there. I had to work, I think. And she gets saved. See, I like how God does that. I'm not there. I'm nowhere around. He just takes care of business. And she gets saved, and she starts coming, and she's going to school, and I'm not thinking of nothing, and it drops in my heart. And I'm like, Lord, you're crazy. I can't marry somebody with 2 kids. I just can't do it. And He says, yes, you can. And I'll never forget. How do you know, Brother Sean? Because, see, when God puts 2 people together, the enemy won't like it because those 2 are going to be one. And there's going to be a strong... How do you know, Brother Sean? How do you know you're supposed to come to this church, Brother Sean? Because all hell fights me to want to leave this church, but I just won't do it. See, y'all need to understand something. When I have a word of the Lord on the matter, it doesn't matter what valley I have to go through. It doesn't matter what circumstance I have to go through. I've got God's word on the matter, and I'm going to stand on God's word, and I'm not going to go to the right hand, and I'm not going to go to the left hand. I'm going to stand on God's word and let God's word handle every situation in my life. Let Him handle all the bad news that comes my way and all the trouble that comes my way. I let God take care of a lot of things. There are times I could get upset, and I could get mad, and I could lose my cool, but I just go to God and I pray. We had people talking about my oldest son in Land O'Lakes, and I could have got mad, could have went to these people's house, could have probably gotten a fisticuffs, but instead I go to God and say, Lord, you hear their sayings, you hear their threatenings, and I just want you to move, and I just want you to show my son that you're on the throne, that you move, that you can do a miracle even for him. And God did a miracle for him. And whether he wants to accept it or realize it or not, but he does. And God did a miracle for him. And I have to be careful because it's easy to want to go and be in fisticuffs with somebody than it is to want to love somebody and forgive somebody and to forgive people that despitefully use you. But we have to because God's word says to. Not because we're perfect or not even because we want to. The hardest thing for us Christians sometimes to do is to forgive when we've been done wrong. But see, if we've been forgiven by our Heavenly Father, we've got to forgive one another. We've got to forgive those that do us wrong. And there's a powerful thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is powerful. I'm into forgiveness. See, we've got to forgive one another. Because if we don't, there can be a root of bitterness that gets on the inside of you. And it can destroy you. But see, we're living in a day where people don't want to talk about that. That little root of bitterness. Oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. Bitterness can kill you. It can destroy you. I have seen people's lives destroyed because of bitterness. Because they didn't want to forgive. Their life was cut short because of bitterness. Who, Brother Sean? I'm not going to tell you who. I'm just telling you, if you think about some of the people that have we've come in contact to and that have been taken at an early age, I'm talking at 45 and 50 years of age, that is young. Because of bitterness. Because they wouldn't forgive. Because they wouldn't let things go. People that had an anointing and a call of God on their life. But one thing got in the way, and that was bitterness and unforgiveness. That is why in my house I teach my family, my daughter, my son, my wife, and I. We constantly work on forgiving people because I know the importance of forgiveness. One, because God's word says to. Two, because I can't afford to have my prayers hindered because I don't want to forgive Brother Mike if he does me wrong. See, it's deeper than just not forgiving somebody. I can go to God in prayer and guess what? If I've offended my brother, I can't even pray. I got to leave my prayer on the altar. And I got to go find my brother and I've got to make it right between me and my brother. And then I can come back and pray and let my request be made known to God. And then I can see God answer my prayer. But not until we just go think we can go to a meeting with Benny Hinn and have him lay hands on us and pray and God move the manifestation. When there's bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart, God's not going to answer you, my brother and sister. He's bound by His word. He cannot override His word and answer you. You have to, obedience is better than sacrifice, the scripture says. You have to obey this word. You have to walk this word out. If somebody's done you wrong and you're having trouble forgiving them, guess what? It's okay to go to God and say, Lord, I'm having trouble forgiving this person. Will you please help me? God understands. God knows exactly what you're going through, but you still have to obey. You still have to forgive. There are many people in the church. We go to communion and we drink God's cup unworthily because of bitterness and because of unforgiveness and because we haven't obeyed God's word. That's why I'm so glad that our pastor allows a cleansing process for us to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me in this area. I need help in this area. See, God's word is forever settled in heaven. It is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled in heaven. The Ten Commandments are forever settled in heaven. Thou should, just because we're in a new covenant doesn't mean we throw the Ten Commandments away. Thank you for the amen. The Ten Commandments in the new covenant, they go hand in hand. If we follow the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, we're not going to want to kill our brother. We're not going to be a murderer. We're not going to want to steal. See, it all goes back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Revelation 19:13 says this, and He was clothed with a vesture. You don't have to turn there, dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. See, Jesus is called the Word of God. Jesus is called the everlasting Father. Jesus is called. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and read this. I think Brother Willie needs to hear this, so I'm going to go ahead and read all these. Those of you that weren't here this morning, this is for y'all. This is for all y'all that weren't here this morning. Those of you that were here this morning, y'all just going to get a double dose. Let me put these in order. Hallelujah. Because it's important that we follow God's word. It's important that we obey God's word. It's important that we honor God's word. Now, I want you to understand, we're talking about God's word, and it's called the book of the law, Nehemiah 8:3, the law of the Lord, Psalms 1:2, the scriptures, Romans 1:2, the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word, James 1:21-23. God's word is descriptive of Old Testament law, Mark 7:13, God's revealed plan, Romans 9:6, God's completed revelation, Colossians chapter 1, verses 25-27, Christ's message, Luke 5:1, the Christian gospel, Acts 4:31. God's word is described as pure, Psalms 19:8, restraining, Psalms 119:11. The word of the Lord is perfect, Psalms 19:7. The word of the Lord is sure, Psalms 117:8. The word of the Lord is truth, Psalms 119, verses 142, 151, and 160. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet, Psalms 119, 105. The word of God is fire, Jeremiah 5:14. The word of the Lord is a hammer, Jeremiah 23:29. The word of the Lord is the seed, Matthew 13:18-23. The word of the Lord is a sword, Ephesians 6:17. God's word is an agency to heal, Psalms 107, verse 20. To make free, John 8:32. God's word will illuminate, Psalms 119:130. God's word will bear witness, John 20:31. God's word will produce faith, Romans 10:17. God's word will make wise, 2 Timothy 3:15-17. God's word will exhort you, 2 Timothy 4:2. That's why the enemy doesn't want us to get into this thing. That's why he doesn't want us to believe this thing, because when we're exhorted, when we're encouraged, we're going to have faith to believe God and to hold Him in His word and to see a manifestation of God's Spirit and God's power and God's glory. God's word will help us to rejoice in our heart, Jeremiah 15:16. God's word created the world, Hebrews 11:3. God's word regenerates the heart, James 1:18. God's word will destroy the world, 2 Peter 3:5-7. And if you want to talk about that after the service, we can. God not only created this world, but He's going to destroy it. We as Christians need to have the attitude towards God's word is this: to stand in awe, Psalms 119, 161. To tremble at, Isaiah 66, verses 2 and 5. To speak faithfully, Jeremiah 23, 28. To search, Acts 17, 11. To speak boldly, Acts 4, 29 and 31. We need to preach the Word of God, Acts 8, 25. We need to receive the Word of God, Acts 11, 1. We need to glorify the Word of God, Acts 13, 48. We need to teach, Acts 18, 11. We need to obey, 1 Peter 3 and 1. We need to handle accurately, 2 Timothy 2:15. We need to do, James 1, 22 and 23. And we need to suffer for, Revelations 1, 9. We don't want to talk about suffering though, so I'll go right on. We don't like to suffer. We like everything neat, coddling, in a nice, cute package, and everything to go smoothly. We don't like to suffer for God's word. If you're a Christian, you're going to suffer. If you're a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled Christian, you're really going to suffer. Because you're going to come across those people that don't understand about God's Spirit, don't understand about speaking in tongues, and you're going to be the witness to them, as I am to my store manager right now. He's a fundamental Baptist, and God bless his soul. He does it in ignorance, so I don't really get upset. Some people would get upset and want to call fire down on him, and I don't feel that in him, because we talk about other things. He doesn't believe in drinking, thank God, and he's a Baptist. Moving right along. But he doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost as of yet, but we've been talking. We sat for 2 hours the other night. My department's becoming a wreck. And I'm looking at him and he's looking at me. And hey, you're my store manager. If you don't care, I don't care. So I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. And he says, I bet you go to one of them churches where you go hubba, hubba, hubba. And I'm like, I looked at him and I says, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea what you're talking about. I said, it's like this glass here. I didn't have a glass, but I said, when you get saved, Rick, I said, you're half full. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the glass full and overflowing. See, I said, but see, he doesn't understand. He goes, I don't know about all that. I says, you know what? It's okay, Rick. I'm not here to judge you. I says, but you know what? I said, I'm just glad we can sit here and have a conversation and not get mad at one another, or not get upset with one another, but we just talk about it. So I can tell he's hungry because he keeps coming back. I don't mention a word to him. He'll come back and say, hey, you know that conversation we had the other night? And I'm like, yeah, get him, Jesus. I got him reeled in now. And I'm just waiting for him. I says, you ought to just come to one of our church services. It'll be all right. I says, we won't dance or jump up and shout too much. We'll just have a good old time. And he goes, I went to one of them church services, and it scared the daylights out of me. I said, it's okay. I said, you know what to expect now. He was only 18, 19 years of age at the time. And he said he went to a Pentecostal church, and the lady beside him jumped up. Although I couldn't set him in front of Sister Kim if she gave out a message, because it might scare the daylights out of him. I'd have to sit him over here on this side of the church. But I'm saying all this because God's Spirit will draw people. God's Spirit is true. I'm telling you, I told him, I said, Rick, once you've tasted of this fire and of this joy, there's nothing you can say that can change my mind. And I says, I may not be able to change your mind, and that's okay. That's not up to me. I says, that's up to God. But I says, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you asked me to do something. I do it because I got an obligation to God to obey my masters when I'm at work. And I do it to the best of my ability. And he says, yeah, you do. And I says, okay, just remember that come raise time. Moving right along. and we have a good relationship. He's probably one of the best store managers I've had. He's hard on me, but it's okay. Kind of reminds me of my first produce manager named Frank. He was hard on me too. But you know what? He got me some discipline, and he taught me some things that I needed to learn. And there are things God's going to take us through so we can learn some of life's lessons. God's not always going to deliver us. Sometimes he's going to take us through the fire like he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in the fire, but God was with them. Thank you for the amen. God's word was with Daniel in the lion's den. The angel of the Lord came and shut to the mouth of the lion. The lion was all around them, but God shut to the mouth of the lion. You might be in a den of snakes, and those snakes can't bite you because God is there with you. You might have a bunch of false people around you, some Muslims, some Mormons, and some Jehovah's Witnesses all around you, but God is with you. God's word is a restraint, Psalms 119, 9 and 11. God's word will guide us, Psalms 119, 133. God's word is a source of joy, Psalms 119, 47. So when you get cast down, pick up your Bible again and read it, and let the joy of the Lord become your strength. God's word is our standard of conduct, Titus 2, 5. See, we shouldn't live our life. My measure of standard of living for Jesus shouldn't be what Brother Terry does or what Brother Mike does. It should be what the Bible says. Not that we don't have people we can look up to, but our ultimate goal is to be like Jesus. The Word of God is a source of new life, 1 Peter 1:23. The Word of God is our spiritual food, 1 Peter 2:2. But we don't treat the Word of God like our spiritual food. We don't always handle the Word of God accurately. We don't always reverence the Word of God like we should. We don't always stand in awe of God's Word like we should. Or we don't always tremble at God's Word like we should. Could you imagine if Jesus showed up here, we'd all stand in awe? We would. You know you would. Jesus walked through them doors and it was really Him. And He began to speak. You wouldn't want to leave. You wouldn't care how early you had to get up for work tomorrow. You'd be standing and you'd be trembling. And you'd be saying, Master, what can I do for you? And he'd be saying, there's things I've already told you to do that you're not doing. I just want you to do them. See, we think that we have to always be seen and heard. Sometimes he wants some people to stay behind the scenes and pray. Sometimes some of you in here have been called to be intercessors, and that's just what he wants you to do, is to just pray. And that's why the enemy fights you tooth and nail and fights you not to pray, because that's exactly what God wants you and has called you to be. Others of you have a ministry of encouragement to call and encourage people. Some of you have a ministry to help get the work done around the church and to get people motivated to work. And you've gotten discouraged, and God wants you to let the net down again. And there are people that have come alongside and help. And hey, I know there's only a few of us, but if the few of us get on one area of a situation, we'll be like Nehemiah, and we can rebuild the wall. See, it's important that we see one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. That's why Jesus said this, that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Isn't it amazing? Some of the greatest miracles that we've seen hasn't been when the church has been full with 500, but when the church got down to 6 and 7 at the end of a service. And the hungry stayed, and the ones that wanted to get fed by God's Word and God's Spirit and wanted God to touch them and move through them and to heal them. That's when we've seen the manifestation of God's presence and God's Spirit. That's when we've seen the salvation of Annette and the deliverance of her drug addiction. Is when we got down to the few and we got down to the faithful at the end of the service. It's not how big the church is, but it's how big the caboose of prayer is, see. That's why God wants us to let the nets down again. Nevertheless, at His Word, we can pray again. We can encourage each other again. We can do God's work again. But we have to do it at His Word. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We have not been bought with corruptible things such as silver and gold. But we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And it's important that we understand that we owe our God a life. We owe Him our everything. We owe Him our heart. We owe Him our eyes. We owe Him our ears. And we owe Him our mouth. And we owe Him our knees so that we can get down and pray. And if you got bad knees, you don't have to get down on your knees. You can lay on your bed. You can lay on the floor. It's the attitude of the heart that God is looking for. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? But he that has clean hands and a pure heart. We can't even ascend up to this hill of God unless we have clean hands, without wrath and without blemish and without spot. Unless our hearts have been clean and purified by God's Word and the blood of Jesus Christ, we can't even ascend into the hill of the Lord. So my prayer is for you is this. Is that we would take a new look at God's Word. That we would stand in awe of God's Word. That we would feed upon God's Word. And that we would take God at His Word. Because my brother and sister, it doesn't matter what reports you get. God's Word is greater. God's Word is greater. There are people that were supposed to die, but God gave them a word that they're not going to die and they're going to live, and they lived. Our pastor was healed with cancer, and God healed him completely, and he's a living testimony. So take courage that your circumstance is not bigger than your God. Your circumstance is not bigger than the Word of God. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. That at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow in heaven and in beneath the earth at the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease have to bow to Jesus. Demons have to bow to the name of Jesus and cry and come out. Because that is the God that we serve. Brother Sean, have you ever seen a demonic spirit? Absolutely. I've seen him cry and come out. I've seen him shut up, cry, and come out. Thank you for the amen. Because that's God's business. That's what God wants to do in people's lives that will let Him. I'll never forget the first time I met Randy. I just come back to Jesus. I don't know. I must have been saved 6 months. Maybe a year. I really don't remember. But all I remember is I'm a young man. I'm 20 years of age. 20 years of age. Meet this young man that's involved in witchcraft. And I didn't know this, but God knew it. And I get in the car, and he gets in the car with me, and I bring him to church. And I heard the Lord say, as plain as I'm talking to you tonight, I want you to lift up my name. And I just was like, okay. I heard it that plain. And so I just kept lifting up Jesus, kept lifting up Jesus. And I noticed he grabbed his stomach. I go, you all right? He goes, I didn't know no better. I says, you got heartburn? He goes, no. Every time I get into religious conversation, my stomach hurts. And when he said that, I knew. See, I've been raised and I've been taught some things. And I knew that this was a spiritual battle. And I said, okay, so I'm going to go a little different direction now. And I began to lift up Jesus. And I just began to tell him, hey, man, I was into drugs and I was into this. But God set me free. The blood of Jesus set me free. And I just began to talk about Jesus in the blood. And he came to church. And, hey, he didn't necessarily get saved that night. But the seed was planted. But I'll never forget, he wrestled with coming to Jesus and following on to know the Lord. And I'll never forget, we got a phone call one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and a friend of his brought him over. And I'm telling you, I've seen darkness and I've seen light, and I've seen what darkness does when it sees the light. And when his friend brought him over and he was in a car, when Randy's that car pulled up to my mom's house, that entity that was inside of him began to cry out and began to cover his eyes because he saw the light. Because we were having prayer meetings and we were seeing God move, and we were going to cast that devil out in Land O'Lakes, Florida at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in my mom and dad's driveway. My dad was at work at the time, working his midnight shift, and my mom comes in the room, says, "Get up, we got to cast out devils." And I'm like, "All right, we're going to get up and do this thing." And we get up, and he tried locking the door, but his friend just unlocked the door and opened it, and I ran around, and I'm kneeling, and I'm looking him dead in the eyes, and I'm not afraid at all. Some people would be said they would be afraid. No, you wouldn't. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost takes over, you ain't going to be afraid. You ain't going to be afraid. Because God is greater than any devil, demon, and hell. God is greater. You're not going to be afraid. You might think you are. You might think you never want to get into that situation. But something on the inside of you takes over. And is called the Holy Ghost. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. See, that's exactly what happens. God takes over the situation. And God's Spirit takes over the situation. And because you are a child of God, not only are you a child, you are an heir of God. And because you are an heir of God, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are not just a Christian. You are a blood-bought son of the living God. You are kings and priests. And I'm looking at royalty sitting in this room tonight. It doesn't matter what your bank account might say. You are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. You can bind and you can loose. You can set people free. You can bind the enemy. And you can loose people. The Bible says a strong man, you can't go into a strong man's house unless he first be bound. I'll never forget, there was a time he said the satanic Bible can't be burned. I said, "That's a lie. That's a lie." I said, bring it over here. We'll burn it right in my mom's driveway. "It ain't going to burn, Sean." "Yes, it is. We lit that sucker on fire and it burned. It burned up." I go, "I thought you said it wouldn't burn." And I wasn't being mean. I was just being bold. I was settled. I knew that Jesus is real, and I knew that I knew that God is greater than the devil because I had seen the light. See, we have seen the light on a lot of things, and it's time that sometimes we call back to remembrance from where God brought us from to where God has brought us to. God has brought us to so many good things and to so many good places that we need to honor Him, that we need to reverence Him, that we need to respect Him, that we need to just give God everything that's in our life, everything that's in our heart, and everything that's in our soul because He deserves it. We don't need to give Him the leftovers. We need to give Him the first fruits of our morning if we can. And that means if you got to get up 30 minutes early, get up 30 minutes early and read a chapter and to put on some worship music and pray. There are times I get up and I don't feel like turning on some worship music when I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning to go to work at 3:30. I've gone to bed at 9 o'clock, got up at 1, but I'll go over to my computer and I'll just click on a song and I'll try not to turn the music up too loud so I'll wake up the rest of the house because they got to sleep. Sometimes my kids are still awake because it's summertime, but that's fixing to change. Hallelujah, school's going back in. Brother Mike says, "Sean, I'm going to kill you after church," but that's okay. That's only because he's a teacher. That's only because he's a teacher. But I love it when the school goes back in because when I have a day off, I can get up in the morning, the kids are at school, and I can turn on some worship music and ain't nobody home but me and Jesus. Sometimes I can meet my wife and sister for lunch because they work at the same place, and sometimes I can just stay home and maybe surprise my wife and clean up the house. It all depends. All depends. Not all the time, but sometimes. Sometimes she goes, "You were off today. Why couldn't you clean the house?" See, when she does that murmuring that us Christians do sometimes, and all of us do it from time to time, I don't want to do it. But when she just says, "Honey, do you think you could please pick up the house?" I don't mind doing it. I don't mind doing it at all. My poor son, tomorrow he's got football practice and he's got to mow the yard. I told him to do it the other day, but he just wouldn't listen to me. I feel bad for you, son. Not. Should have listened to Dad and did it the other day. But that's okay. God is good. I want to read Revelation 19:13 again in closing. Because God's word is forever settled in heaven. So if you got a situation or a circumstance in your life and it's touching you and you don't necessarily know how to handle it, I'm telling you, go to God's word and ask Him for direction, and He will answer you in His word and tell you how you need to handle that situation. Tell you how you need to handle that circumstance. You might not like the answer He gives you, but He'll tell you how to handle the situation. I'll never forget, I went through a trial in my life because of my own stupidity and my own wrongdoing. And the Lord said, I want you to hold your peace and I want you to go wash those people's feet. I said, Lord, they've done wrong. They've slandered my name. They've done this and they've done that. He said, I didn't ask you all that. I just want you to go wash their feet. I said, okay. And I'm telling you, as I began to wash their feet, it didn't matter if they received it or not. I was obeying what God told me to do. And every time I've obeyed what God told me to do, He has always blessed me and shut to the mouth of the lion. There are people that will try to slander you and try to say all manner of evil about you. But I want you to understand something. You look them in the eyes and you say, you know what? You're right, I'm not perfect, but I love you and I'm going to forgive you. And I'm not saying that's easy, an easy thing to do, because it's not. There's a part of you that wants to grab them by the neck, pick them up off their feet, and choke them to death. And there's a part of you that feels sorry for them because you see the error of their ways. And it breaks your heart. I try to handle things, and I don't always succeed. I try to handle things the way God wants me to. My family can tell when I've been praying and when I've been in the Word, because I'll handle things differently. I won't just fly off the handle and lose my cool. When I fly off the handle and lose my cool, I haven't been doing what I know I should be doing, and the same goes for y'all too. We all know what we should do, we just don't always do it. Revelation 19:13 says this, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Would you please stand? See, the Word of God is none other than Jesus. See, that's why we can go to God's Word and we can get God's mind on the situation and God's understanding on the situation, because we know that we have a God that loves us and a God that cares for us and a God that wants to help us. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost, my brother and sister. It wasn't just so we could have liver shivers. It wasn't just so we could praise Him in tongues. He sent the Comforter alongside to help us live this gospel. He sent the Comforter so that we could become the sons of God. That's why He sent the Holy Ghost, to give us the power to become God's sons. Because in and of ourselves we can't do it. But with the helping aid of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. So as you're here tonight, it doesn't matter what you're facing. Go to God's Word. Get God's Word on the matter, on the situation of the heart. And let God's Word, let God take up the battle. You go to God's Word and get God's Word on the matter. And you let God take up the battle, because we can't fight this thing in and of ourselves. When we try to fight it in and of ourselves or change things or change people and try to make things happen, we get into a rut and we get into a mess. But when we stand back and we get God's Word on the situation, and God says to us, I want you to stand back and I just want you to pray, people begin to see God in a different way when you get out of the way. And they begin to see the light of Jesus. And they begin to see God answer prayers. There's no denying that God will answer your prayer. Those of you that got kids that aren't saved, I'm telling you, they cannot deny when you pray for them and God answers that prayer that there isn't a God. They can run. They can fight it. They can hide from it. But they cannot deny that there is a God. That God loved them enough and loved you enough to answer that prayer. Brother Doug, give us some worship. I want you to just worship God.